All the major news stories made simple and easy for your listening pleasure. We'll break it down for you in keywords. For this segment, we're joined by Chihi in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lena.
We do have a lot of our listeners waiting for your appearance.
Oh, thank you.
So welcome back. Just want to know that you are welcome by our Arirang listeners.
Great.
We're going to take a look at some keywords this morning, hopefully trying to clarify some of these major headlines for you. This is our first pick of the day.
Step-by-step recovery.
So the Korean government is aiming to get 70% of the population inoculated with their first shot before the Chuseok holiday and, of course, create herd immunity by November. Now, the government officials are repeatedly saying that the country will be able to gradually return to normalcy. I chuckle because I can't even define the boundaries of normalcy anymore. However, it seems like there is a stronger blueprint to get us there.
Right. Yeah. So recently, the government is expected to begin discussion, actually, on a full-scale alleviation of COVID-19 control measures after the extended Chuseok holiday, which is this month.
Right, right.
And disease control authorities announced plans to explore approaches for a gradual return to everyday life.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the term normal because we can't really imagine like the past normal days anymore.
Pre-pandemic.
Right, yeah, pre-pandemic.
But still something close to it.
Yes, yes. So the commissioner of the Korea Disease Control and Prevention Agency, Jeong Eun-kyung, said during the parliamentary committee session held yesterday that Korea will be able to shift its strategy from quarantine measures to managing the virus and living a normal life again by the end of October. While some politicians use the term, quote-unquote, with corona to express the new strategy of managing the coronavirus as we gradually move back to our normal lives, the government is actually trying to discourage people from using the term, which may be used in different senses.
Branding and naming is so important.
Yeah,
so I guess
really
to encourage people to keep their guards up in the meantime.
Exactly.
We have a different approach.
Yes, yes, exactly. So they argue that this expression may undermine the seriousness of the situation and the government's efforts to curb the virus. So that is why they're refraining from using the term. Instead, although it's not an official expression, the same phrase is being referred to as a step-by-step recovery plan to normal life.
There you go. A step-by-step recovery plan. I know with corona, it just has a better ring to it.
Yeah.
But you get the sentiment anyhow. Now, President Moon Jae-in also addressed this step-by-step recovery plan.
Yes. On Monday, he mentioned the possibility of returning to normalcy, and he also emphasized the need to ramp up the vaccination campaign. And meanwhile, vaccination rate in the country is rising, and if herd immunity is formed by November as planned, and if the COVID-19 situation gets better, the government states it will be able to explore a gradual transition to a new disease control and prevention system so that once again we can carry out our normal daily life
Sure. I didn't mean to, you know, undermine the message here, but it's just that we use a term so openly and so freely as if there will be an end to this thing, and that's not even the goal anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right. But we shifted our focus. We've shifted our strategy, and the idea is that there is a step-by-step plan to maybe, you know, keep businesses open a little bit longer, ensure that students go to school for face-to-face classes,
things like that. And maybe like stepping down the social distancing level as well.
Exactly. Yeah. All of that. That's the aim, folks.
Yes, it is. Well, regarding booster shots, though, the government is yet to come up with a plan, and we'll look into clinical cases and data from other countries before setting up their plans cautiously.
Because we do have to look at whether those booster shots are effective or not.
True.
On to our second keyword this morning.
Pandemic in the UK.
So it seems that the COVID-19 situation is beginning to aggravate in the UK, with the average daily numbers confirmed cases going above 40,000. The government expressed the possibility of tightening its quarantine measures once more. Tell us more.
Right. So it is autumn and new semesters have begun, but the average number of daily confirmed cases has peaked once again in the UK. Another 41,192 positive tests were reported as of Monday, along with 45 COVID-related deaths. But the actual number is supposed to be a lot higher due to the lack of testing testing in the early stages. And Vaccine Minister Nadeem Zahawi said yesterday that if the number of hospitalized patients continue to remain high, a new stricter quarantine measure may be implemented in October. So the most recent figures show that there are some 7,600 patients in hospital with about 1,000 on ventilators, which means they have severe symptoms. And although lockdown measures are not considered, the current trend may lead to the re-implementation of restrictions or even extension of school holidays.
And they want to prevent more severe patients so that the hospital system is not strained further, right?
Exactly.
But nothing is set in stone as far as whether that lockdown will happen on a full scale in October or not.
Yeah, nothing's
set in stone yet.
But officials say there are huge concerns and uncertainties over the situation because some 9 million students are going back to school, as well as workers are they're returning to work at their offices. And compared to the same period last year, if you look at the figures, there are about 20 times more confirmed cases right now. And yeah, it's really difficult to speculate where the situation will lead to since there are so many variables, such as like the people's behaviors and the vaccination rate, etc. Yeah, and you mentioned the hospital situation. Health officials worry that the continued increase in the number of severe patients may lead to an overload in the healthcare system as well.
The thing is, we have to take a look at the situations outside of Korea, especially those countries that have led the way with vaccinating the majority of the population, to see that, well, what kind of difference does do these variants make, including but not limited to Delta?
Yes.
I looked at the latest stats, and four in five people in the UK aged 16 and over are fully vaccinated, which means that there are potential for breakthrough cases.
Yeah.
There has to be more studies conducted on why there are. There's a resurgence.
Right.
But then this invites the question of, do we need to put in those booster shots faster too?
Yeah, exactly. I guess it's all because of the variant as well.
Right. Yeah. Of course. That's the situation in the UK, guys. And we move on to our third keyword this morning.
Current account surplus.
So Korea recorded current account surplus for 15 straight months until July amid the continued recovery in global demand. Trades are looking positive, which is an overall positive sign for the country's economy. So give us the details, Jihee.
Right. So according to Bank of Korea, the country's current account surplus reached $8.21 billion in July, up $1.19 billion from a year earlier. There are a lot of numbers here. So with export surging by 26% to $54.31 billion in July, trade surplus for goods amounted to $5.73 billion in the month. And meanwhile, import jumped as well by about 35%. And services account balance, and this measures the flow of travel, transport cost, and royalty, this posted a deficit of $80 million in July, which is down from a deficit of $1.3 billion recorded a year earlier.
All right.
But the transport account surplus hit a new monthly high of $1.59 billion in July, keeping a record-breaking trend for the third consecutive month.
All right.
Yeah, and travel account deficit amounted to $490 million in July, which is a lot higher than the deficit that was recorded a year earlier. And this is, of course, attributable to the phenomenon in which people avoided going on overseas trips because of the pandemic.
Right. Yeah. We're discouraged to go anywhere.
Exactly. And the primary income account, which includes the monthly salary and the investment income, recorded also a surplus of $2.8 billion in July, up $1.12 billion from a year earlier. And last but not least, the overseas direct investment by local residents expanded, while foreign direct investment in Korea gained $2.95 billion.
So there are some positive signs for the country's economy trying to fight its way back. Trade numbers are good. I think that's always a positive indicator.
Right.
People are investing bigger.
Yeah, bigger.
All right.
We're seeing some positive signs.
But the travel industry, I think, still needs some time to bounce back.
True.
On to our fourth keyword of the day.
SLBM successfully fires.
So a locally developed SLBM, or submarine-launched ballistic missile, was successfully test-fired from a new submarine in the Yellow Sea last week. This makes the country the eighth country in the world to possess the weapon. Let's take a look at why this is important.
Mm-hmm. So an SLBM from the Navy, a submarine, Dosan Anchangho, was launched on Thursday, September the 2nd, off the coast of Taean, South Chungcheong. The test fire took place under the supervision of the Agency for Defense Development. Mm. And the third and final test still remains to be taken before the mass production and deployment of the weapon becomes possible. Mm. But the final test launch is to be completed by the middle of this month and will be conducted in the same area as the recent test. Mm. Mm. So the SLBM development usually goes through three stages, including a ground test and an underwater test, as well as the final submarine test. Well, the ground test was successfully conducted at the end of last year, and the underwater test launch was completed from a barge last month before the recent test from a submarine. And the recent success of the test made Korea, like you said, the eighth country in the world to develop the weapon, after the U.S., Russia, Britain, France, India, China, and North Korea.
There's a reason why the headlines highlight the fact that it's important that we now have the capability to launch these ballistic missiles from submarine, because it is, I believe, more difficult to detect in a radar, right?
It is. It's a lot difficult compared to the land-based missiles.
Right, right.
And so the successful development and testing of these new missile is expected to serve as a key deterrence weapon for Korea.
All right, guys, moving on to our fifth keyword of the day.
Military parade.
It seems likely that North Korea might hold a military parade this week to celebrate the anniversary of the state's founding. The state founding anniversary falls on Thursday this week, and the parade is more likely to be held on this day. So let's get the details.
So earlier, some 10,000 troops were spotted in Pyongyang, the North Korean capital, indicating the regime's possible preparation of a military parade ahead of its upcoming state and ruling party founding anniversary. Mm. So the two anniversaries each fall on September 9th and October 10th, respectively. Mm. But then given the observed preparation status, it is more likely that the parade will be held this Thursday on the state founding anniversary.
All right.
Yes, and the previous parades were held at night, so this one is probably going to be held at night as well. And it is also likely that the North could unveil messages to the South and the U.S. during the parade, as they have done so in the past as well.
All right.
And recently, the North had warned of a serious security crisis in protest of the joint military exercise that took place in August by the South and the U.S., and the sign of a military parade comes after this warning protest. The Korean military is closely following the North's preparations for the large-scale event, with close coordination between the South Korea-U.S. intelligence authorities.
And on to our last keyword of the day.
Bitcoin currency.
El Salvador became the first country in the world to adopt Bitcoin as legal currency as of yesterday. As you can imagine, it will affect the market. Yes. It will affect the prices. And of course, other countries will look as to whether this is a possibility or not. So what's the latest?
Right. So El Salvador had enacted their Bitcoin law in June to make Bitcoin the country's legal currency. And it took effect yesterday. And with the decision, Bitcoin joins the U.S. dollar as El Salvador's official currencies. And the Bitcoin law says that this cryptocurrency can be used for any transaction, and any business with technological capacity to do so must accept the payment in this
form. But this also does mean that all businesses, even the small ones, even your local mom and pop store, needs to adapt a whole new system to take Bitcoin as currency.
Exactly, exactly.
So it may take more time.
It may. So I think that's why they have some new ATMs for which people can withdraw Bitcoin from their digital wallet. ballots called chivos, so that they can actually like withdraw them in the form of dollars, so they can use them in cash. So I think it's like a transitional phase they have.
All right. But I mean, even just having a set up ATMs so that you can access your digital wallet,
exactly.
that seems to be unprecedented.
Yes, very new.
All right. However, these ATM machines are currently being heavily protected in fear that someone might well break in or take advantage.
Right, right. Well, not everyone was for the adoption of Bitcoin as legal currency. And in fact, more than half the people in El Salvador had protested against this idea. And that is why these ATMs are being protected by armed guards or soldiers, because there may be attacks from those who protested.
So why did some people protest the introduction of Bitcoin as El Salvador's official currency?
Well, the main reason behind this opposition is that it's difficult, Bitcoin, it's difficult to trust because of its high volatility. There was a recent dip in the prices even after it became legal.
In El Salvador?
Yeah, in Salvador.
Okay.
And they worry that this may lead to the worsening of poverty as well.
So make that gap between the wealthy and the poor even bigger?
Exactly.
Because who has access to Bitcoin is also an important question too.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah, but meanwhile, the president tweeted that the government purchased an additional 150 Bitcoins, taking advantage of the recent dip in the purchase.
I'm not quite sure if that aggravates the situation further or makes it better.
Yeah.
But anyhow, we'll have to wait and see, folks. Thank you very much, Shihi, for today's coverage.
Yep, thank you.
I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.